they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid thee to come unto me under the water. And he said, come, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Then let's pray. Lord, I can always say tonight, have mercy. Have mercy upon me. Lord, I'm afraid. Lord, we're afraid. Lord, we're afraid to go on in our flesh because we know it's of no avail. Lord, we're afraid that the devil's been deceiving us. Lord, we're afraid that the devil's stolen our victory and our joy and our peace. Lord, we want to do great things for you. Lord, we're not satisfied with mediocre work. Lord, we're not satisfied with half a work. Lord, we want to do great things for you. Amen. And yet, Lord, in doing great things, pride has so much tendency to come in. Right. So, Lord, I ask for mercy. I ask for mercy upon me this evening. I ask for mercy upon every speaker, every singer, every member of this congregation tonight. I ask for mercy. I ask for mercy upon us that you'd pour out your spirit upon us. Lord, we're not worthy of your spirit. We're not worthy. But, oh God, we need your spirit. Lord, the flesh profit nothing. It's the spirit we need. Lord, bless us tonight. You know what Peter did? He got out of the boat. He got out of the boat. And brother, we're here at a mission conference tonight, and I believe that God's calling some out of the boat. I don't believe God wants some to stay in the boat. I believe that God is calling some to get out of the boat and do the impossible.
Amen.
Now, you're talking about the impossible. Walking on water is impossible. I believe God is calling us to do a great work. And God is calling us out of the boat. Now, I've thought many times, how is it that God calls some? How is it? I've had people ask me, well, how did you know God called you? And what is it that somebody says that God's called you out of the boat and to walk on the water? I mean, what makes you think that you can walk on water? I mean, what makes you think you're the one that God has touched and God has called? And brethren, I don't know that I have an answer. I could give you my testimony, but I don't think that would satisfy you. All I know is that when Jesus was walking on this water, somehow it was Peter, of all the other disciples in the boat, it was Peter that said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come. And I don't understand. Perhaps it was because God was praying for him. Jesus was praying for him. So is it Jesus went away to pray alone? Perhaps God, in his infinite wisdom, in his sovereignty, as some of the brethren say, in his wisdom, he said, I want Peter to get out of the boat. I want Peter to get out of the boat. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called. He said, go ye in all the way and preach the gospel. Brother, that's your call.
Amen.
That's your call. That's my call. And he adds on, he says, but few are chosen. I think about Barnabas and Saul, and over in Acts chapter 13, they're all praying. There were many prophets, there were many preachers, there were many teachers there. They were all praying, they were all fasting. And God, the Spirit said, Barnabas and Saul. And I don't understand that. I really don't. And I didn't come here tonight to try to explain that. I came here tonight knowing that God calls some out of the boat. That I know. I know that God comes walking on the water and he says to some, I want you to get out of the boat.
Amen.
I want you to take a step of faith and get out of the boat. That's what I know. I felt like in my life that one time God said to me, Brent, I want you out of the boat. I want you to get out of the boat, and I want you to go to Mexico and preach the gospel. I think about Moses. You know what the parents of Moses did? They put him in a boat. They said, how can that be, Brent? You're preaching about getting out of the boat, and Moses' parents put him in a boat. So you're going to find out they didn't put him in there to leave him in there. Moses' parents put him in that boat so that one day he'd get out. I want you to know that Moses was set sail, put in that boat, not to sail the River Nile. The purpose of Moses being in the boat was not for him just to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That was not the purpose for Moses being put in the boat. The purpose of Moses being put in the boat was to get out one day and lead his people out of Egypt into the promised land. Now, you know what I think about Moses? I think about some godly parents that prepared their children for one day to step out of the boat and say, yes, I'm a called of God. I think about John the Baptist who was called from his mother's womb to preach the gospel. Oh, he sailed the sea of life for a while, but one day, he said, now my time's come to get out of the boat. Oh, there's a time to stay in the boat. Mark it down. I mean, there's a time to ride in the boat. I'm not complaining against the boat, but I'm just saying when God begins to say it's time to get out, we need to get out of the boat.
I think of Jeremiah, who was also called from his mother's womb to go and preach
to the nation. Look over in Matthew, the same book, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18.
And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left their ship and their father and followed him.
Brethren, God called us to be fishers.
God has not called us to fish in the seas of this life. God has called us to be fishers
of men.
God has called us to be soul winners. God has called us to go out and bring them in. God has called us to go out and preach the gospel. God has called us to go out and cry against the wickedness of this world. God has called us into a great and mighty work. But I want you to notice something, that this call begins
when we were in the ship.
This call began.
Well, we're just sailing life. I mean, we're just sailing down and having a good time. He says, it's time to get out. He comes down to Peter and John, who were in a ship. That's what it says in verse 21. They were in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them.
He called them in a ship, but he called them out of that ship. And he called them to leave behind their nets, leave behind their occupation, leave behind their desires, leave behind their goals and ambitions.
I want you to know something else, to leave behind their problems. You know, I'm afraid tonight that there's some that God has spoken to, God's been dealing with, and God's been calling, but they don't want to get out of the boat because it's honest. Jesus said that he that loveth father, the father's word is not worthy. God is calling us to leave. When God called Abraham, he told him to leave his own family, to leave his own relative, to go on to a land, that he had called him. I believe that God is calling us, some of us, away from our own family, calling us away from our own friends, calling us away from our own nets and our own desires, our own ambition, to leave it all behind. To venture out in what would appear utter darkness, that we don't even know what's before us. Abraham didn't know. James and John surely didn't know. They just heard Jesus said, come follow me, and I'm going to make you. They didn't know what waited them.
They had no idea.
But Jesus, they heard the call, saw Jesus, and said, well, we better leave this stuff behind.
I mean, if it's Jesus, then it's worth it. I mean, it's for Jesus. We'll just leave this behind, and we'll follow him.
Brother, that's a step of faith. That's a step of faith. Look over in John in chapter 21. I'd say that God is calling us out of the boat. Calling us out of the boat. And yet, after all this, I mean, from the very beginning, Peter and James and John and all the disciples were called out of the boat, called out of the ships to go and follow Jesus to become fishers of men. Then we find Peter himself one day in the boat again, finding himself in the boat again. He sees Jesus walking on the water and he's called out of the boat again to go to Jesus. And yes, some would criticize Well, where am I?
He calls Peter out of the boat, calls him to come to him. And Peter goes and he falls.
And you know what happened? What happened? Who remembers? We just read it. What happened? He cries, oh, Jesus, Lord, save. But what happens after that?
He's called. He takes a step of faith. Much more faith would seem than them guys that were still in the boat. And yet Jesus has no rebuke for the other disciples. And he rebukes Peter.
You know why? I believe that God, the men that God calls, he expects great things. I believe he expects great things from us.
I believe he expects us to fulfill our ministry. God does not call us out of the boat to fail. It is not our calling. God did not choose us to come out of the boat and to fail. God has chosen us to have victory.
Now you have to understand something. Victory may be when we go into a prison cell and praise the Lord Jesus. That may be the victory. Understand what I'm saying about victory.
Victory may not be, as some of the brethren like to say, it's going to be prosperous. Victory may be that things just might not go the way we thought they were.
You understand what I'm saying tonight? God has called us unto victory. And what God begins, he finishes. I think of Philippians chapter 1, God begins the work, he's going to finish the work. And I want you to know, when he wants Peter out of the boat, that's where he wants him. He doesn't want him in the boat, and he's going to do everything to get him out of the boat. My friend, if God's calling you tonight, he wants you out of the boat. You better watch out, because God can get you out of the boat one way or another. You can't run from God. Where are you going to hide from God? Where are you going to go to get away from God? You're going to go up to heaven. He's already there. You're going to run around here somewhere. He's here too.
You're going to go down in the depths of hell. God's there too. You're not going to run from God.
Oh, I think about my Jason. Everybody deserves a Jason. I really love him. He's a real character. I think everybody that has children has one of them. But old Jason, I remember one time, I said, Jason,
What did you do? His old eyes got real big, and he know he done something wrong. I said, come here. And he said, no, I'm not coming. I said, boy, you better get over here. He said, no, I ain't coming. And here we go, man. I'm chasing him around. I said, where do you think you're going? You ain't going to get away from me, man. I caught him. You know what he learned? He ain't getting away from that. You know what some of you need to learn tonight? You ain't getting away from God.
Amen.
You ain't going to get away from God. I think about Peter. You know, Peter's just like us. Dumb. We're just dumb. I mean, sometimes we're just dumb. Sometimes we just don't use the old cocoa. We're just not really, you know, we're just not really with it.
Because after all this,
where do we find Peter again in John chapter 21?
Jesus has died. He's rose again. He's already been manifest himself unto the apostles.
And where do we find Peter in John chapter 1? Verse 3.
And Simon Peter saith unto him, I go fishing.
Well, that's a pretty good idea. Now somebody said, let's go fishing. That's a pretty good idea, right?
And he says, and we also, they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship.
Immediately. Like they caught nothing. I don't know why he would think he's going to catch something. God told him not to get in the boat. God called him out of the boat. Why in the world would you think he's going to catch something?
Why in the world would you think Peter's going to catch something when God called him out of the boat? And I want you to know something. Some of you tonight, nothing's going right. I mean, you've been fishing all night long. You know there's fish out there. You know, in fact, you could probably see them out there. Because when Jesus shows up, just cast the net over on the other side. Wham! There they are. So I got a feeling that Peter saw the fish. And them fish were just somehow weren't getting into his net.
You know why? Because God didn't tell him to get in the boat. He told him to get out of the boat. Some of you tonight, everything just seemed like just not going right for me. Nothing's going right. You know why? You're not where God told you. You understand? You're not where God told you to be. How can it be otherwise? How can you have peace when you're not where God told you?
How can you have victory
when you're in the wrong place? Peter was in the wrong place. Look down here in verse 7. After Jesus appeared unto him, it says in verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Remind you of over there in Matthew chapter 14. He said, why Lord bid me to come. He says, it's the Lord.
Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat upon him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea.
I want you to notice a couple things here. First of all, Peter went fishing, but he cast his fisherman's coat off. I wonder how many people tonight, God has spoken, God has called you to be a fisherman, but you set aside your fisherman's coat. God, I mean, this Peter, he sat there naked. And you know what God tells him to do? He says, dress ourselves in righteousness. God tells him to put on the helmet of salvation. God tells him to put on us, on our feet, the gospel of peace.
God says we're supposed to dress ourselves up, and here was Peter naked. And I'm afraid there's some brothers here tonight. God has been calling, and God has been dealing with, and God wants them out of the boat. But there they are in the boat, naked, fishing for the wrong thing.
And they don't understand why they're not catching anything. Because they're fishing for the wrong thing. They don't understand why they don't have peace. Why they're not seeing victory. You know why? Well, God has called you out of the boat. Notice something else. He cast himself. They're walking on water this time. He swim to shore.
I mean, I'm going to tell you something. You get out of God's will. You get out of God's will. There's no more walking on water. Forget that stuff, man. There's no more walking on water when you get out of God's will. You're on your own, bud. You're going to go your own way and do your own thing. God says, well, have at it. Let's see if you can do it.
Huh? We got a brother down there. Jose Luis. Very wealthy man. But his children, just grown up. He's got a daughter that, daddy, if I can't have this dog, then I'm leaving. Well, the dog ain't staying here, so goodbye. She left. She's gone. She made a wrong decision. You know what he said? You're not in my house, I don't feed you. You're not in my house, I don't clothe you. You're not in my house, I don't help you. You know what she's out there? She's going to be hungry pretty soon. She's going to be without clothes pretty soon. She's going to be coming back to daddy, but you know what daddy's going to say? When you come back to this house, it ain't going to be with that dog. You want to go your own way? You're going to pay the price. You want to reject God's call? Just sit around and you think you can go fishing anywhere you want, do what you want, go on your own little boat, stay in there, and God told you to get out of the boat? You better think you've got something else coming. You better think about it for a while. God is calling someone.
I think we need to go back and think about what happened in Matthew chapter 14 for just a second. God didn't call all of them out of the boat. Did you hear what I said? God didn't call all of them. God called one of them. He called people.
I'm not saying everybody has to go to Mexico. I'm not saying everybody has to go to mission.
I'm saying that he's talking to someone.
Obviously, he just can't have everybody going. Who's going to send them?
That's obvious. So he calls some. I don't know who they are, but you do. I don't know. I can't go around here. Well, I think it's Thomas, brother, over here. No, I couldn't. You know who it is. You know who's done. You know God is speaking to you. You know who's done. Oh, I've been there before. I think I've sat in your shoes for a while. Oh, Lord, you know, I'm not really sure. Oh, Lord, I'm not now. I mean, tomorrow, some other time. I know how that goes. God's calling some. Look over in Jonah in chapter 1. I want you to know God wants us out of the boat. Jonah in chapter 1. He says in verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee in the Tarshish, and from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You know what, my friend? Jonah was not called to get into a ship. You understand what I'm saying? Jonah was not called to get in a ship. God did not want him in a ship. He wanted him down there in Nineveh. He wanted to go and cry against Nineveh, and he got into a ship going the wrong direction. And some of you tonight are in a ship going the wrong direction. God has not called you in that direction. He may have called them sailors in that ship that direction. He may have called some other brothers in that direction, but he did not call you in that direction. He called you to go somewhere else. God wants you to come out of the ship. He wants you to go to Nineveh. Or if God's calling you, maybe he wants you to go to Mexico. I don't know. I'm not here to decide. God calls, and God chooses. What I'm here saying tonight is that if God's called, it's time to get out of the boat. What I'm doing here tonight is my responsibility before you, before this congregation, before the Lord, is to make sure you obey God's call. Now, let me ask you something. Where's your ship going? This ship you're riding on, where is it going? Is it going towards God or away from God? Are you trying to run from God? Let's go find out what happens when somebody runs from God. The same chapter. Look down at verse 12. And they said unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought that was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. But they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, oh, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. You know what happened? Jonah, by not obeying the will of God, put others in danger. Jonah, by not doing the will of God, put others in danger. And brethren, tonight, maybe the reason the church is not victorious, maybe the reason it seems that the trials of affliction and the ways of affliction are buffeting our bark, because God wants somebody out of the boat, maybe not out yet. Maybe the reason that the church goes through the trials of affliction is because God wants his man out of the boat and he's still in there. Now let me tell you something. God is not a man that he gets lazy. God is not a man like some men are. They begin a project and don't finish it. When God calls a man, you mark it down, he's going to finish it. And he's going to break all hell loose on earth to get that man where he wants him to be. That's what happened here. The Bible says that God sent a big storm up there and blew the winds up there and the waves up there. Why? Because he wanted a man on the boat. The God called man, the God chose a man was in the boat and he shouldn't have been there. Now, that puts a great responsibility upon the church. You hear what I said? That puts a great responsibility. The Bible says they were over there praying and fasting before God called out Ananias, Ananias, Saul, Mark. God, and the church was there praying. What happened? God just separated. What happened to church? So these men, they found out this man was out of the will of God. They said, what are we going to do with you? You're out of the will of God. And Jonah said, well, there's only one thing to do. I got to get out of this boat. Pitch me over. Oh, no, they said, we ain't going to do that. Ain't no way. I mean, if God caused all this storm because, you know, you're in the wrong place, man, what is God going to do to us if we destroy thee? Ain't no way. We ain't going to mess with you. No, we got to do something. So they rowed a little bit harder and they put up some more sail. I don't know what they did. But they did their best because they didn't want to cast him out. Now, there's many a church. Well, we don't know what happened. What might happen? He might suffer with it. He might be cast in prison. He might get him out of it. You don't think that weighs heavy on the heart or something? You don't think that weighs, it ought to weigh heavy on our hearts to think about our missionary. Huh? That's a great responsibility. You know, it falls upon us to pray. It calls upon us to pray down God's protection. Huh? I noticed something else. Jump back up there in about verse 5. The Bible says, but Jonah was down into the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper?
Arise, call upon thy God, it so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not.
Now some are in the boat asleep. Don't care the world's perishing.
God's called them. God's touched them. God wants them to go. God told them where to go. God told them what to say. God told them what to do.
God says, awake the righteous, you can sit mountain. Some have nothing out with you. God, I speak to you.
God says, wake up! Wake up! The world is perishing! Get out of the boat! Get out of the boat! The world is perishing! How are they going to call upon the great God that saves?
If they don't have a preacher.
How are they going to do it? And so he says, wake up! Wake up! It's time to get out of the boat! Wake up, O sleeper!
Why sleepest thou? Can't you see the perishing? Somebody did a wonderful thing out there on the wall. I don't know who did it. It's very beautiful. Like this. Right over here on this wall. I don't have a creative name. It's got a lot of verses. He looked up to God. And do you lay there asleep in the boat and they're perishing? Do you not care? Somebody's mother out there is perishing.
Somebody's brother is
out there perishing.
Somebody's loved one is out there perishing.
Oh, I thought about it. My mother dying. I doubt she'll live with me. I wonder if somebody's in the boat. So I knock on these doors. I think about my mother. Oh, God, keep me away. Oh, God, don't let me fall asleep. Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Brother, the church
Nineveh is perishing. They need a Jonah to go down and cry against it. They need a Jonah, a man of God, a called man of God, to go and cry against it, to call upon
it. Even though Jonah didn't do it, that's another message. I want you to know Jonah went down later on, hometown. That's the king. Are you asleep in a boat? Look down in the last part of verse 14. They cried on the Lord, lay not upon us innocent blood. But our Lord has done his that. I think about Paul saying so many times, we'll put it back. I'm clean. Your blood's not on my head. I go on. I wonder if the church had ever get concerned about it. I wonder if the church ever got concerned. We might see more people get cast out of it. I wonder what. Now look down to verse 17. You just never know what's going to happen when you get out of the boat. And I don't make any pretext to try to tell you what's going to happen when you get out of the boat. You just don't know.
Sometimes you get out of the boat,
and you're walking on water. I mean, you just going out there and, wow, man, this is really great. Old Peter, man, he's just walking on water.
Sometimes you get out of the boat, you got to swim. Sometimes you get out of the boat and a fish swallows you. I mean, there's just no telling what's going to happen when you get out of the boat. So I don't make any promises, okay? I don't make any promise what's going to happen to you after you get out of the boat.
I mean, you might have to go down there and work with Bill Kincaid. You're going to eat black beans the rest of your life, man. There's no telling what's going to happen.
Now, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah.
One thing I know, the Lord.
The Lord was there with Peter both times.
The Lord was here with Jonah. I think about Moses. He said, what am I going to tell Pharaoh, man? You want me to go down and talk to Pharaoh? I don't think so, man. Last time I was down there, I was trying to cut my head off. He said, don't you worry about it. I'm going to be with you. That's all he said to him. Don't you worry about it. I'm going with you. Now, who else he wants to go with you? I mean, you think it's better to have Bill Kincaid with you or the Lord? You think it's better to walk around Lynn O'Brien or the Lord? I tell you what, I think I'd rather have the Lord, really. You know, if we're just going to get right down and do the comparing, I think I'm going to choose the Lord over you.
The Lord?
So what kind of promise is that the Lord's going to go with? I mean, Bill says, hey, you want to go with me to Mexico? Yeah, sure. I mean, the state? Sure, let's go. And we're driving down there at 60 miles an hour, and Bill's up ahead, and I'm going with him. All right, man, I got my good buddy here, Bill. He's with me. About that time, the wheel's off. Woo! And I say, hey, Jenner, whose wheel is that? I think that's ours. So we're driving, we don't got no more wheel. I think, well, there goes Bill, and I'm flashing my light. Hey, man, come back here. And Janice gets out of the car, and she said, I don't know why she was whistling, but she was doing one of the texting. Hey, come back here. About an hour later, he finally comes back. And said, hey, what's going on? Of course, I already had the car, the wheel back on and everything, you know. Somehow I just think it's better if the Lord goes with it. I really do. but the Lord will never leave me, nor forsake me.
Uh-oh. I'm in trouble now. All right. That's good spirits around here. Look over in Luke in chapter 8. Luke in chapter 8.
I need to get this finished. Hey, we're having a time, somebody says.
Verse 37.
Now, you remember this demon-possessed man. God comes in to save him.
Verse 37. When the whole multitude, this is after it all happened, the whole multitude of the country of the Gadareans round about besought him to depart from them. For they were taken with a great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man about whom the devils were departed, he sought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God had done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city.
how great things Jesus had done it. It came to pass that when Jesus returned, he was glad to receive him, for they were all waiting for him. Now look down in verse 37. It says Jesus went up in the boat. And then verse 38, it says the man that Jesus saved went up in the boat and said, you know, I want to go with you. You know, that's a pretty good thing to go with you and say you want to go with the Lord. And I think there's a time that, you know, we need to spend more time at the feet of Jesus. And I think that you to break the alabaster box and wash it deep. I think there's a time also that Jesus says, you know, get out of the boat. Would you just get out of the boat and go back and tell your friends and your family what great things God has done? Would you just get out of the boat? I mean, I got something else for you to do. I mean, there's a time to sit at the feet of Jesus. There's a time to worship him. And God, he says, there is a time. And God, I even called him to do that. There's a time like here when Jesus says, okay, I want you to get out of the boat and go over there. Yeah, but what about these other guys there in the boat? I don't care about these other guys. I want you to get out of the boat and go over there and talk to the old people. God tells me that. God called you to get out of the boat. I wonder. This man got out of the boat, and you know what happened? Verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, and I think this has got a whole lot more saying, a whole lot more here than when it just appears, I think, you know. When Jesus returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Now, isn't that a direct opposite of what happened in verse 37? I mean, in 37, they're saying, get out of here, you gringo, we don't want you. I mean, get out of here. And in verse 37, I should say verse 40, they're waiting. They're waiting. You know why? Because the man got out. Now, there's a great thing to be done. If somebody would take the command of God and get out of the boat, let's hurry. Acts chapter 27, how to finish it up. Acts chapter 27. I don't have time to read the whole chapter. You ought to have already read it. You should know it. If you haven't, look ashamed. You need to read it. Acts chapter 27. You know what they're doing? Here's God's man, God's chosen vessel, to go on before kings and Gentiles and Jews and carry the message of the gospel. Paul, and you know what they want to do to him? They tie him up, they take him captive, they put him on a boat. Now what have we seen in all this message? God's man is not supposed to be in the boat. God's man is not supposed to be on the boat. And you should not be dragging God's man onto the boat. Especially when God's man says, hey, listen, fellas, I don't think this is going to be a good sailing trip. Isn't that what he says there? Look down to verse 9. He says, you put me in this boat and I don't think I ought to be here. Verse 9, he says, now when much time was spent and when the sailing was now dangerous, let me tell you something. When God's man's in a boat and he's not supposed to be there, sailing is very dangerous. Because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said to them, sir, he used some tact here. He just got it, you know, he realized what's coming. He says, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and with much damage, not only to the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, it's a daring belief. Let me tell you something. This world's not going to believe. They're not going to believe that God's man is not supposed to be in the boat. I mean, when I told my folks I was going to Mexico, they said, where? You're going to do what? They still to this day think I'm going to do what in the world are you doing down in Mexico? I mean, you could be working up here and making money. No, they're just not going to believe you. But God's man is not supposed to be in the boat. Look down at verse 13. And when a south wind blew softly, supposing that they had attained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete. Now, isn't that just like people on the boat? They just think, well, everything's going to go all right. I mean, we got good winds. I mean, things are going smooth. Let's just have at it. I mean, it's got to be God's will. Everything's going so great. But look what happens in the next verse. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Erechtheia. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up the wind, we let her drive and went running under a certain island, which is called Claudia. We had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up, they had used helps ungirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall in the quicksand, straight sail and were driven. And being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. Now you go through the scripture sometime and just see how many times God man's on the boat and he's not supposed to be there, how many times the tempest comes up. I mean, it happened in Matthew. I mean, it happened in John chapter 21. It happened in Jonah. It happens here. It's just amazing how many times God's man in the boat and God says, all right, this ain't supposed to be happening. He just caused a little storm to come up on the sea. It just causes disaster. I want you to know a lot of people are spending a lot of time on the boat. He says, verse down in verse 16, we had much work to come by the boat. And they're working on the boat all day long and they're not even supposed to be in the boat. The boat, that they're not even supposed to be messing with the boat. They're supposed to be out of the boat doing something else. So there has to be much work to be done to the boat. I tell you, they can only see the end. They can only say we've seen the end chapter. There's the fellas, don't even matter. This thing's going to be destroyed anyway. We just might as well forget it right here and let Paul go. I mean, he's got places to go. They just let him go. Did you read the last chapter? The last chapter says the boat was broken up. And here they are. They're wasting all their life on this boat. All their effort, all their strength on this boat. And God's going to destroy. Now, isn't it just like some people? They say, I can't get out of the boat because, you know, it's my boat. I mean, you know, it's my car. It's my boat. It's my house. It's my career. It's my life. It's my country. It's my family. It's you just got to understand. You just don't understand. Yes, I understand. The boat's going to be destroyed. So what are you doing in the boat? The boat is going to be destroyed. Think about David. He couldn't understand some things. They went in the house of the Lord and said, well, now I understand because now I understand their dad. Brother, what it do is good to go ahead and read the last chapter. I think a good look at the last chapter of the book, we wouldn't spend so much time on the boat. We wouldn't be worried about the boat. I mean, it's going to sink in. They said we couldn't do it. The tempest. Well, there's a lot of things. Look down in verse 44. Let's really read the last chapter. Verse 43 and verse 44.
But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded they could swim, should cast themselves first in the sea and get to land. And the rest come out on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Well, that's the grace of God.
We all escaped safe to land. Even the ones that aren't necessarily doing the will of God, but saved, God called them, God had mercy upon them. They're going to reach the glory. All safe. They're going to have to swim there. It seems like they're going to get there. Even on broken pieces. You know, it's going to seem like, well, how in the world did you get here? The grace of God. Oh, the grace of God.
What in the world? You should have been dead. How'd you get here?
Oh, the grace of God. And oh, what shot there's going to be, huh? Now, let's just talk a time out here just before we end this evening. Just take one more last look at verse 30 and 31.
The ship's in a great tempest. They've already cast everything out. I mean, they've already cast the sails out, the oars out. I mean, they've given up all hope.
And they just realize, well, what's the use? I mean, you know, there ain't no use. I can't do anything right anymore. Isn't that just like a frustrated fish? And then just like Peter over there fishing all night long, and he sees the Lord, oh, well, I might as well just go ahead and jump in and grab it. You know why? Some people reach that point. Some of you reach in your God brought you a point and say, look, it's not worth it. I mean, you've lost everything time and time again, and you're saying, it's not worth it. Maybe you ought to get out of the boat. Now, notice what happened in verse 30. They say, well, the boat's not going to last any longer, so we might as well get out.
And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said unto the centurion and the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Now, you know what happened here? These sailors realized that this boat's not going to last much longer. We need to get out of the boat. They finally got the point. You need to get out of the boat. You're not supposed to be in the boat. You need to get out of the boat. You know what they want to do? They want to get in another boat. Isn't that what it says?
He said, look, all right, we understand. You know, we understand. God just doesn't want us in this boat. We're going to get us in another boat. And so he says over in verse 30, the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, and when they let down the boat in the sea under color as though they would. Now, you know what that means right there? They were pretending to do something they weren't really doing. They were being hypocritical. They said, all right, we're going to give all. I mean, we're just going to step out by faith out of the boat. Yes, sir. That's what we're going to do. And I've had a lot of Christians just like that.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get out of the boat. I'm going to walk on water. Oh, yeah, just like Peter. Me too.
But you know what they're doing? They're letting down another little boat over there. Huh? Under the color, is that how they say? This is scriptural. This is Bible. This is how God speaks. He says, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the boat. Huh?
Oh, we're just going to let this ship rot right here. We're just going to pitch these anchors out. And they're
letting down some other boat. You know what God said? Dr. Paul, you better go talk to some parents. Well, look, I hate to tell you so after I told you so, but I'm going to tell you so,
but this shouldn't happen. I told you we shouldn't have been sailing this boat. Now, the only way you're going to get saved
is you cut them boats. I don't think it took that centurion too long. I think he just walked right over there with his sword. All right, boys, we're putting in the list.
Whoa!
Kind of like Ananias and Sapphira trying to fool God.
Oh, I think we're going to fool God. We sold out. Yes, sir, Peter, we sold out.
God said, oh, yeah? You might fool me. You know what God wants you to do? Cut the rope.
Amen.
Cut the rope.
Cut the rope.
You don't know what's out there. Abraham didn't know what awaited.
I had no idea what waited me.
I didn't have any idea what it was going to be like. Oh, I was sometimes it's not known. It's not. And I want to close this with a thought from George Whitfield told this story one time. A man was falling over a precipice and happened to be a rope there. He grabbed hold of this rope as he was falling, and below this precipice, about 100 feet down, the rocks, the ocean was crashing in. Lightning was lightning, and the storm was coming, and the rain was falling. The man's hanging on the rope, and he's trying to get to the back of the climb back up, and he can't because the rope's wet, his hands are all sweaty, and he's just falling, and the winds are blowing, and the winds are howling, and everything's coming down. Just doesn't look like there's any hope, and he, oh my God, could you save me? Somebody help me, mercy!
He's falling down inch by inch. He's down in the very last inch. And doesn't look like he's going to be able to hold on any longer. The night's cold. The rain is getting on his hand. He's just doing everything he can to hold on. And he's crying out for mercy, out of nowhere.
Oh, my God, this is a miracle. Oh, yes, I believe. I believe you can save me.
Angel Lord said, okay, I believe in mine. God said, you've got to get out of the room. Time to do something. Believe God? You believe God can do great things? I'm going to let go. I'm going to let go.